Thanks, John.
Well, that was fabulous. I guess I better get up now and talk a little bit because, well, my goodness. I came across this book, Big Magic. Yes. I love that song, you guys. Thank you so much. I turn stuff over. Sometimes I don't even know. At the start of the week, I'm going, okay, Spirit, what are we going to talk about? And Spirit's going, as for me to know and you to find out. Oh, man. And then I wonder, and I wonder, and Melanie and John are like, well, we need to kind of come up with some music. And so I go, okay, tune into Spirit, because Spirit hasn't spoken to me yet. And then they start looking for things, and it's amazing what ends up happening in the synergy of the creativeness of this universe. Before they even know my talk title, they have songs that fit in, and then once things sort of fell into place for me, then I was sharing that with them, and that's where magic happens. So I'm going to do a little short series on creativity and big magic. This book is by Elizabeth Gilbert, Eat, Pray, Love, the author of Eat, Pray, Love. It's Big Magic, Creative Living Beyond Fear. So, when we think about creativity, being creative, what does that mean for us? How many of you feel that you're creative? Raise your hand. Okay, so that was a trick question. Sorry about that. Okay, so before we raise our hands again, I'll ask you this. How many of you, and just think about this, have ever solved any kind of a problem? Maybe your child came to you and asked, how do I do this? Okay. Oh, here's another one. Okay, how many of you have ever told a story? Maybe to a child, or maybe when you called in to work to say you were sick when you weren't. Yeah. Think about it. How many of you have ever, when no one was watching, sang along to a song or danced? Okay, let me ask this question again. How many of you feel that you are creative? There we go. Everybody's hand is up in the air. So it invites us to take a look. Don't you love that picture I found that I'm like, oh my gosh. It's just, it feels creative, doesn't it? So we stop to think about creativity and an understanding that it's divine idea. And it's an opportunity to experience our world in a way that's different than just how our eyes see these outer dimensions. And I love, this is what Dr. Seuss says. He says, my alphabet starts with this letter called Yuz. It's the letter I use to spell Yuzmataz. You'll be sort of surprised that there is to be found once you go beyond Z and start poking around. Friends, when was the last time you went beyond Z, the boundaries that you hold in your minds and in the ideas of how we're supposed to look professional in our world or how we're supposed to show up and gone to the Yuzmataz. Alan Alda says that the creative is the place where no one else has ever been. You have to leave the city of your comfort and go into the wilderness of your intuition. What you'll discover will be wonderful. What you'll discover is yourself. So in exploring for ourselves what it is to be creative, it's an understanding of it's life. Life is creative. It's joyful. It's exciting. It's wondrous. It's challenging. It's opportunity. And it invites us to be engaged in a way that doesn't come always from same old, right? When Elizabeth Gilbert began to address this idea of living creatively, she invites us into an awareness that takes us outside of the limitations of this part of our mental mind and into a place where we can expand into the whole universe. So from Scripture in Genesis 1, verse 1 through 3, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." So friends, we understand that the stories in the Bible were handed down over centuries and generations. The Jewish people were the first to even begin to write anything down, the little that they did. They were called midrashic stories. That means that they created like a myth or an idea story to explain something that was an unknown. So when it says in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. What they were talking about is what it is like to create. In John, it goes on to say that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, saying that it isn't God a person who created, it is the Word or the breath or the resonant energy that created all that is. And when we take a look at God or Godness or God being or divine pure oneness, as that energy of everything that is, that has been created, that is being created, that will ever be created, we can begin to experience the vastness of opportunity and potential that is inherent in each and every one of us, because we are designed in that image. We have that co-creative mind of Godness, of beingness inherent within each of us. So when we're talking about moving into creative living, it's like, whoa. Okay, how am I going to go about accessing those divine ideas that take me beyond the mental limitations and the way I see the world? So Elizabeth Gilbert, she says, I'm paraphrasing here just a little bit at first, she's talking about an awareness that inherent in each and every one of us, there's the jewels that are unique to each one of us, our own personal gifts, unlike anybody else. And that we are always in this journey of life to seek, to uncover, to discover what those jewels are, those inspirations are. She says, the hunt to uncover those jewels, that's creative living. Creative living is hunting for, looking for, discovering the inherentness of the particular unique jewels that are who we are. The courage to go on the hunt in the first place, that's what separates the mundane existence from a more enchanted one. Whoa! My gosh! The courage to go hunting instead of just walking down the same path. Wow! That's what invites us into an enchanted experience. I like that. Does anybody else like enchanted? I'm all for that. The often surprising results of that hunt, that's what I call big magic. When I refer to creative living, I'm talking about living a life that is driven more strongly by curiosity than by fear. A creative life is an amplified life. It's a bigger life, a happier life, an expanded life. Living in this manner, continually and stubbornly bringing forth the jewels that are hidden within you, is a fine art in and of itself. Oh man, friends. Wow. Being invited into creative living is as an amazing opportunity and a part of our everyday existence. But what stops us? What stops us? Everydayness. Fear. Fear is what stops us, and fear wears many different faces and has many different names. So let's think about some of the fears that stop us from being childlike, from being creative, from following a divine idea, from writing a book, from singing a song, to making up a dance. Fear of failure. Looking foolish. People won't like me. Somebody else did it better. This side of the room? Not qualified. You know, our beloved, one of the artists of this congregation is our own Kevin Gross, who makes these magical things, magical art and fractal art. And he posted something the other day, and I happened to look at it. It was something he had worked on before, and it sort of looked like balloons and then had other things through it. Can you pull it up, Kevin? Okay. Next week. I didn't let him know I was going to tell. Spirit comes, you know, in the middle of the night to me sometimes. So I don't know. But, so here's the thing though, because he put on there, he wasn't sure what he was going to name it. And so he was asking for people to come up with ideas. Well, and many of you know that I owned a balloon decor business for gazillion years when I was in California in my other life. And so I sort of relate to balloons, and I think they're beautiful. And the picture was beautiful. And so the word that came to me was balloonyful. So I typed it on. And do you know what? I sat there and I almost erased it. Because it seemed, like you said, it seemed kind of silly. And I'm, oh man, then it's on Facebook, then it's out there for everybody to see. And I went, Sandy, press the button right now. And I did. But see, it left me feeling vulnerable, because what if somebody looked on there and said, well, that's a stupid name. Who thought of that? How many times do we have that voice going through our head? There are so many ways that fear stops us. So in Scripture, John 14:1, it says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, also believe in me. And from Lamentations 3:57, it says, you came near when I called on you. You said, do not fear. Friends, there are so many scriptures. I had so much stuff, and I don't have time to share it all, but there is so much on letting go of the fear, of stepping outside of the beliefs and the judgments that have weighted us down and kept us from dancing like the child within us in expression in so many ways. Whether it's doing mathematical equations, whether it's teaching a child to read, whether it's sharing with your grandchildren, making cookies or how to bake, whether it's becoming an author or writing a song or a poem. Those voices, that deep inner place of the presence of God, that divine inspiration, calls us to step outside the box of what we typically know in order to soar, in order to create big magic. In her book, she says, creative living is a path, though, for the brave. We all know this. We all know that when courage dies, creativity dies with it. Because when the courage, when the willingness to move through the fears dies, we stop. I talked about that last week. We're like Lot's wife. We turn, we look back, we believe in the old judgments, and we turn to a pillar of salt. We're frozen. I'm saying that she's not. Okay, going on with her quote. Your fear will always be triggered by your creativity, friends. This is something to recognize. Your fear will always be triggered by your creativity because creativity asks you to enter into realms of uncertain outcome. And fear hates uncertain, doesn't it? Yeah, fear's just the ego mind that is scared. This is all totally natural and human. It's absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. It is, however, something that very much needs to be dealt with. I made a decision, she says, I made a decision a long time ago that if I want creativity in my life, and I do, then I will have to make space for fear too. Creativity cannot take a single step forward without fear marching right alongside. When people try to kill off their fear, they often end up inadvertently murdering their creativity in the process. So she says, I don't try to kill off my fear. I don't go to war against it. Instead, I make space for it. It seems to me that the less I fight my fear, the less it fights back. That's pretty powerful. You know, and we tend to think of all or nothing. And we tend to think of we can't go forward if we're afraid. And so we struggle with the fear, don't we? And then what happens when we struggle or focus on something? It magnifies it. It becomes what our attention, the energetic vibration of our attention, draws into the realm of our existence. So she says, well, hey, you know, fear's going to be there. Because fear is a part of our biological makeup, and it's important to us. There are some really instinctual good times for our fear to pop up and keep us from stepping out into the street in front of a racing car or being mauled by bears or something. I don't know. That was probably a long time ago. But, you know, hey, there, you know, the instinct is a part of us, and it's important. So it's recognizing, okay, I'm going to have fear. And that's a natural part of being human. So what? My choice, though, will be not to focus on the fear. I'll create space. I'll allow it to be there. But I won't be focusing on it. What I'll be focusing on are the creative ideas that draw me outside the box of my being and allow me to live into something greater. I love this quote from Vincent van Gogh. It says, if you hear a voice within you say you cannot paint, then by all means paint, and that voice will be silenced. When was the last time you finger painted? Oh, man, we're going to have a finger painting Sunday, I think. Joseph Chilton Pierce goes on to say, to live a creative life, we must lose our fear of being wrong. Friends, this stuff is so powerful in a recognition of when our fear comes flying in, because it will. We have lifetimes, past belief systems that are part of our intrinsic unconsciousness. So they're going to come flying up. And it's kind of like, and so what? Because if we make a choice to live into our creative impulses instead and focus there, that will draw us into an energetic vibration of creativity, of big magic, that will invite us to step into those impulses and those ideas that come from divine mind. God said, do not fear, but stand in the truth of those impulses and those divine ideas. Dwayne Michaels says, trust that little voice in your head that says, wouldn't it be interesting if, and then do it. Wouldn't it be interesting if? Yeah. When was the last time you went through your backyard or a field with a magnifying glass? Yeah. Because, oh, well, that might be kind of silly, and, oh, I don't want people to see me doing that, and they might think I'm really crazy, or, yeah. Or maybe if I, you know, dance around the room when everyone else is sitting. Barb, bless her heart. See, there, she is our ambassador of creativity, man. She stands back there when we sing a song. Yeah. She is up and moving and into the music. There's several. Not everyone's here today, but there's several. It's like, yeah. Okay, so who the heck is watching? I don't care. I don't care. I'm going to live into my creative divinity, into my creative impulses. So it's understanding that what we are doing... Oh, there's magical music. Doesn't that sound like an ice cream truck or something? Is there an ice cream truck outside? Let's all go. Well, that's wonderful. Thank you. Whoever that is, I love it. I appreciate that. God speaks in so many creative ways. So what we're going to be about doing as we explore this a little bit deeper next week as well, into tuning into divine mind, the ideas of God impulse, it's going to be an invitation to begin playing. It's going to be an invitation to begin looking beyond the fear responses. It's a willingness to notice them, because they'll come up. And we've listened to them for so long, sometimes we don't even realize we've stopped because we're hearing them and we believe them. Well, be a little more aware and go, wait a minute. Who's driving the car here? Okay. So this is going to be an invitation to explore those little dreams, those inspirations, those things that maybe have been with you since childhood. She talks about a woman who was a wonderful, wonderful ice skater. She competed when she was young. But she wasn't quite good enough to be in that top echelon of the, you know, 0.3% that go on to the Olympics or to wherever. And so she stopped. And at the age of 40, she felt empty, and she just felt down. And she decided to start skating again. She said it felt kind of silly at first with all these little kids, you know, and they're skating circles around her and everything. But she went out and she skated, and all of a sudden, her heart woke up. And she was energized, and she was excited. And she realized it was a part of her being. She loved to skate. It didn't matter if she had medals. It didn't matter what anybody else said. So this is our invitation, friends. It's our invitation to begin to skate, to begin to sing, to begin to dance, to begin to solve problems, to begin to be creative in ways that we haven't before. And And when we recognize the fear comes up, here's a little letter that Elizabeth Gilbert wrote to her fear that I'm going to read to you. Dearest fear, creativity and I are about to go on a road trip together. I understand you'll be joining us because you always do. I acknowledge that you believe you have an important job to do in my life and you take your job seriously. Apparently your job is to induce complete panic whenever I'm about to do anything interesting. And may I say, you are superb at your job. So by all means, keep doing your job if you feel you must. But I will also be doing my job on this road trip, which is to work hard and to stay focused. And creativity will be doing its job, which is to remain stimulating and inspiring. There's plenty of room in this vehicle for all of us, so make yourself at home. But understand this. Creativity and I are the only ones who will be making any decisions along the way. You are part of this family, but still, your suggestions will never be followed. You are not allowed to touch the road maps. You're not allowed to suggest detours or even touch the radio. Above all else, my dear old familiar friend, you are absolutely forbidden to drive. So friends, as we explore in this coming week the possibilities of creativity that are within us, the options and those little voices that call to us to expand and to embrace our life and to seek and explore where no man has gone before, then embrace this idea and know fear will be there, but not in the driver's seat. So I will close with this quote today that's by Jonathan Lockwood Huey. He's an inspirational author, and he says, and take this to heart through your whole week. Today is your day to dance lightly with life. Sing wild songs of adventure. Invite rainbows and butterflies out to play. Soar your spirit and unfurl your joy. Friends, let's be about creating big magic.